right? It's just in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
It's glorious to be here today. The sound of thunder outside. Here we are, safe in church by the grace of God. It's a wonderful sanctuary, a place that God has built and God has blessed, that we are in a safe place today. One of the pictures of the church, one of the images of the church, is that the church is the ark. We are probably all familiar with the story of Noah and the ark and how God directed him to build an ark because the storm was going to come, was going to flood the earth. But those who fled to the ark would be safe. And God preserved them. And so it is with the church, that we have fled to the church, that God would protect us and God would keep us from the storms, keep us from the judgment which is to come. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, is addressing the church and he's speaking to them. Just like to reread what was read for the epistle reading so that it's fresh in our memory. Paul said, "According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as though by fire." Paul was telling them that he laid a foundation of the understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And that foundation is the supreme offering that he could have given them, and that they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. As the book of Acts says, there is salvation in no one else, for no other name under heaven has been given among men by which we must be saved. He explained to them, as Jesus had said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And that we have heard that many times. And by the grace of God, we also have that same foundation as the Church of Jesus Christ. But Paul says there is something that happens in addition to a foundation being laid. Things are built on foundations. And they can be good things or they can be less than optimal things. Paul says that even as far as the church is concerned, there can be good things. The gold, the silver, the precious stones, the things which God has imparted, the things which build up the body of Christ and edify it, cause it to be strong. We know that one reflection of this are the traditions of the church that we have, the scriptures for one. That God has given us the scriptures so that we might live thereby, that we might understand the true reality of the world. You know, in our day, in our time, it's hard to know what truth is. It's hard to know who is telling the truth. Yet we know, because of God's gift to us in the Scriptures, we know what the truth is. Jesus said, when we know the truth shall set us free, shall make us free. And so as Christians, we rejoice in the fact that we have the Scriptures and that we are free. That we are not led about by every wind of doctrine, by every opinion of men, but we have the truth of God's Word to guide us and to lead us and direct us. We thank God for the liturgy of the church, that He has given us the way to approach Him and to worship Him, the way that He desires for us to worship, and that we might partake of His very nature. See, when we gather here today, it is more than just about an intellectual exercise. It is more than just something that we do out of rote or out of habit. We have an opportunity through the Eucharist, through partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we have an opportunity to partake of His very nature. What a tremendous and awesome blessing that is. That God has imparted to us a stone which builds up and edifies His church. We have the councils of the church which gave us an elucidation of who God is and an understanding of His church and how it functions. That kept us from error, that kept the church from drifting off into falsehoods. And so the church met in council, and the councils came together and made determinations, among which are the canons of the church that instruct us about things which are permitted and not permitted, among which, of course, is the teaching that abortion is wrong. It's not open for discussion. It's not open for debate. As far as the canons of the church. And we are married to Christ. He is our bridegroom, and we are His bride. And so what He has directed us to do is not just something that is a good idea or something that we have a choice in doing. There's a small college that is not far from here. And there's a big controversy going on in that college because they have a confession of faith. It's a Christian college. And there's a big discussion and a big brouhaha going on over there because some of the professors of the school have read that confession of faith, have read that what the church or what that school believes, and they have assented to it. They have said, yes, that's a good thing to say. It's a good thing to pronounce. But we're not going to live that. We're not going to actually live that in our life. And the school's administration has the audacity to say, oh, yes, you will. That's just not some intellectual blurb that we put out like a press release. That is something that we firmly intend to do and to live and to be. But the professors are rebelling against that. They're saying, oh, no, you can't make us do that. When Jesus Christ tells us that something is wrong, that something is without discussion, evil, we have one choice. That one choice is to agree. Yes, Lord, we agree. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not our church. One of the things that I learned, it was a hard lesson for me because I was a Protestant before I found Orthodoxy. As we were journeying toward Orthodoxy, somebody told me, they were bold enough to say, you know what? God doesn't care what you think. God doesn't care what you believe about a certain issue. He has said the way it's going to be in his church, and that's the way it's going to be in his church. And that was a hard thing for me to hear. Oh, yeah? Isn't this America? Don't we each have a right to our own opinion? Can't I judge things for myself? But I came to realize, no, you don't have that right. The only right that we have is to obey. To obey him implicitly and without asking why. And so as he has given us so many precious teachings and precious jewels to build up the church, the Bible, the liturgy, the iconography, the saints, the councils and the canons, all the things that he has laid out for us in terms of the life of the church and the things that he desires for us to do, these things are simply there for us to do, not to discuss, because this is the ark that God has prepared for us. It is that place where God welcomes everyone to come and to be seated and to rejoice in him and to partake of his very nature. This is the beauty of the church. But Paul says, as the church, we need to build with the gold and silver and precious stones, not with wood, hay, and stubble, not with the insights of science or the opinions of men, but with his truth. He says, those who build with his truth, and in the context of traditions that he has given us to live, there will be a reward for them. And Paul says that those who build with anything else, the fire will reveal the fallacy of their efforts, and they will suffer loss. He's not terribly specific about what that loss is, but it doesn't sound good to me. So they will suffer loss even though they themselves will be saved. They're saved because at least they were on a foundation of Christ. At least that was something they assented to. We should cling to these things, cling to the teachings of the Lord, of the church. It's not for us to debate them. It's not for us to say, oh, that's wonderful. We pray the confession of faith every Sunday. That doesn't mean that we actually believe it, that we're going to live it. No. We live it. By the grace and power of God, we live it. And we're here together, protected in his church, rejoicing in his presence as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in all things. May it be so, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens. Let us, the faithful, pray for the catechumens, that the Lord will have mercy on them.
Lord, have mercy.
That he will teach them the word of truth.
Lord, have mercy.
That he will reveal to them the gospel of righteousness.
Lord, have mercy.
That he will unite them to his holy Catholic and apostolic church.